Yeah. Could I have one extra? Could I? Okay. Okay. We will get started. Okay, complex numbers. Right. Okay, that's much better. So does everyone have a copy of the notes? Great, okay. Okay, so hands up who has, you could raise your hand if you've seen and used complex numbers before. Okay, great. So about two-thirds of the people. Actually, could you just put your hand up again? Just keep it up for a second. Okay, so about two-thirds of the people. Okay, so this will be a bit of review, so that's fine. So if you have, just bear with us for the moment. And this will, not everyone has, and this will be very useful for you. So, okay, so complex numbers. So we know about the idea of integers, whole numbers, sort of minus 1, minus 2, minus 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. And so they're obviously not the only numbers that are. Could you close the doors? Thanks. Obviously not the only numbers. There are numbers in between, say, 1 and 2, and that's fractions, for example. So I guess between 0 and 1, there's 4 fifths and 1 tenth. And what I should say is actually one reason why we're doing the mathematics, all the stuff that we're doing, pretty much everything that you do is incredibly useful. And from physics to quantum physics to special relativity to quantum gravity, waves in classical physics, electromagnetism, complex numbers are everywhere. Just incredibly, incredibly useful. So undoubtedly you will use them. And when we get on to quantum mechanics, we'll see we'll actually be using them a lot, and they're very, very useful. So okay, we can go from integers, and we might think, well, I mean, we could even draw all the integers on a line. And then in between them, we find there are these extra numbers, these fractions. So I guess that's the number line then. You've got the fractions in between. But also, in between the integers as well, are real numbers. So numbers such as 3.14159, 26, etc., etc. And basically as many sort of decimal places as we'd like to go. So there are more numbers in integers. So we're kind of extending this idea of the kind of numbers that we have, from whole numbers to fractions, numbers that can be represented as, I guess we have whole numbers in the numerator and the denominator, and then real numbers, which are more general. And I think, well, you know, can we, is that all the numbers that there are? Can we go any further? And so the answer is, well, you can. And this leads us on to imaginary numbers, like complex numbers, so which a lot of you do know about. And one way I like to picture them is graphically. And so we have just a Cartesian graph here, sort of the x direction, the y direction there. And so, but what we have is we have all the real numbers. So we've just taken this axis here, we put it along there, and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But we've kind of got another dimension of numbers. We've got this whole range of other numbers we haven't even considered. And so what we have is, we call them imaginary numbers up here. So we've got this extra axis, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4. But, it's a different axis. So we've got to have a sort of a different signal, a different label. We can't just put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 up there. So let's use I. I is a good letter. And so we have I here. And I'll explain a bit more about what that is in a minute. But in a sense, just as we can kind of take all the integers and fill in the gaps in between them here with different numbers, so we can actually go in another dimension up here. And we have a whole different dimensions of numbers. And that's what an imaginary dimension, I, stands for imaginary. And we have all these different numbers. And so we have a number here. Again, we might think of this x-axis we can go along, we're up 3 units along there. and up in this extra dimension of numbers, where 3 units up there. And so that number is 3 plus 3i. So just as, again, we can go in between the numbers here, we're just going in a completely new direction to have different numbers. One interesting thing is you don't actually have to stop there. And you can go, I mean, you can draw a 3-dimensional graph. It's kind of hard to draw, but you can visualize it. 4-dimensional, 5 dimensions, you can go as many dimensions as you like. And in particular, there are actually 4 dimensions, so there are numbers called quaternions. And instead of being represented by 2-dimensional graph, they're actually represented by 4-dimensional graph. And they're useful, at least in some cases, in quantum mechanics. But we won't really be going into those. But just to let you know, you don't actually have to stop at 2 dimensions. But so this is kind of the idea. We're sort of generalizing numbers. We're getting sort of more and more numbers, and sort of graphically, instead of, I mean, pretty much when you count things, when you see things in the world, or you measure things, the voltmeter, pretty much you kind of measure real numbers here. We have this sort of whole extra dimension is what we're looking at. So we have this I, I've sort of used this symbol I, and what actually is it? So a number of you will know. But what I is the square root of -1. And so it's kind of strange, because I remember my math teacher telling me at some stage, you can't take the square root of a negative number. And so, well, you know, there's no, well, in a sense you can, in a sense you can't. Really, you can, but you have to be careful about it, because obviously there's, if you do, you won't get any normal number. And there's no ordinary number, there's no real number you can square and get a negative number. If you get any number of normal number, you've got a normal number that if you square it, you get a positive number multiplied by itself. But we have this very special number here, I, and this is the symbol we've got. And that's actually defined to be the square root of -1. And that's the number that I was talking about up here. It's this kind of this extra dimension of number. So if we think about it, basically we have the square root of -1 all through there. So this is what we have. And it's the properties of it. And some of you may notice on the second line there's a purposeful mistake in this sheet. I think I changed it on there. So properties of I. Okay, so we've got this number I. So let's kind of play around with it and see what we get. So it's I, it's kind of a strange number. So if we square it, what do we get? So if we square it, it's the same thing, it's just I times I. So well, I is just the square root of -1. So it's defined, so we just put minus square root of -1 there, and square root of -1. And if we sort of take the two square roots and we square those, then we get -1. So that's one property. And I think, so if you just cross out the I squared equals on the next line, that was the purposeful error. Okay. So what happens if we get plus I multiplied by minus I here? So again, it's kind of this sort of extra different number. It's a very, very strange number. Well, we just sort of substitute here square root of -1 and then put the minus sign of square root of -1 again. And what we end up with is, well, there's a minus sign out the front and we square minus the square root of -1 and -1 again. And that gives us -1, just the square roots go away. And we're left with 2 minus signs, and 2 minus signs gives you a plus sign. Just as if you multiply -1 by -1, really that's what we're doing. And you end up with +1. And so we kind of generalize these numbers. And so we have whole numbers, we have natural numbers, they're positive integers, we have integers, whole numbers, and we have real numbers. So we've got to think up a new name for all these numbers. We have this extra dimension that goes up kind of in this y direction here. And so we call numbers that have a sort of this imaginary bit that have this I in them, we call them complex numbers. And they're kind of complex, they've got 2 parts to them, so it makes sense to me. Okay, so let's use, we've got to have a symbol for the complex numbers. And so let's use Z, you know, it's a nice letter of the alphabet. And so generally, any complex number has got this sort of ordinary part, and this part with this I in it, this imaginary part. And so that's sort of the general form of a complex number, sort of A plus the I. And the A's and B's are real numbers. So for example, Z could be 3. Z is 3 plus 4i, we have A being 3, and then B being 4. So that's what we have. And we have special names because we have this number is made up of two parts, and one component is just a real number, so that's A, and we call that the real component. And it's got another component, B, we call that the imaginary component. So what we have. So if we want to plot that, so I'm kind of a visual thinker, so I like to think in terms of diagrams and what things are. And so if we plot that, we go sort of, we have sort of the real number axis. And so again, we've got all the real numbers here. And so A is just the real component. So what we have to do is just go along kind of 3 units there of A. And that's just telling us that we've got sort of 3 units in sort of the standard number direction, if you like, the normal numbers. That makes sense. But also we've got this imaginary component, which is kind of like a Y component. So it's a number with two components. Just as kind of think of this as being like a vector. So if we have a vector with sort of an X component and a Y component, we go 3 units along in the X direction, and we go 4 units up in the Y direction. So we end up with something like that there. So this is what we do. And we get 3 plus 4i. So that's the kind of, if you want to try and get a picture in your mind of what you actually have. This is the picture to have. Okay. So we've kind of played around a bit. So what I'd just like you to do now, so you all have your little whiteboards and your little markers and things. So we've got a couple of student exercises up there. So we've just kind of gone through them. So what I'd like you to do is to go through them now. And come up with the answer. You have about 10 minutes, probably about 15 minutes. So this will probably take us through the break. So the last one's a little bit harder. If you know about complex numbers and you think these are incredibly easy, fantastic. If you could look at people around you and see if there are any people that are maybe sort of struggling a bit, help those people and test out your communication skills. Because one of the best ways to actually learn something and to really keep it in your mind is to actually teach someone else. So if we could help, you could help us help ourselves and help teach everyone. So we will give you about 10 minutes to go to those. So this is a group activity. So work with the people around you. You're allowed to talk. Don't be silent. Away you go.
I have more to read.
Okay. Okay, does that come off? Is that what's on? Okay. Okay. Do you have any grants on how are you able to? Okay. Once you've got the answers yourself and you feel comfortable, you can come out and see how that is going. Okay, so yeah.
Thank you. The number that is where it's
So these are the answers to the first three problems up there. The fourth one's kind of a little bit stinky because the answer was kind of hidden away on the last line of a bit on complex numbers. So well, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, there are a number of ways you can expand that out. Binomial expansion, but that's complicated. But there's a sneaky way, and the sneaky way is really transforming using polar coordinates, so using sort of r and theta, and actually transforming the 1 plus I into a different form. And that's easier than to take the power of n, and it's easier to do n equals 10. Otherwise, you actually get the binomial expansion, because then you're doing something like 1 plus I. And you have a lot of these terms, you know, multiply them all out, use a formula, and it gets complicated. So the easy way, which actually hands up who's answered this question. Okay, so great. So that's it. Good. So the easy way is just take the 1 plus I. And so it's kind of a bit tricky. So you've all read the math primer and you've memorized the ninth line, correct?
Yes.
Okay, someone said yes. So I'm not hearing any problem. Yeah, sure. Okay, so one person said yes. I don't know who said yes, but okay, we'll take that as yes. Okay, so hidden away, so I'll talk about this later. It's kind of out of order, but I think you can handle it. There's a different way. So this is a complex number, which I guess an example is Z. And there's another way of representing it. So just as they're different, it's really different coordinate systems. So just as any number, just go back to good old Cartesian x, y plot. You give me a point, any point p, I can represent that by giving the x and y coordinates of it, p. That's simple. But there's also a different type of coordinate. So if you give me any point here, so I need someone... So what's your name?
Jessica.
Okay, could you come up and draw a point? Could you just tell me, where would like a point to be drawn?
Bottom.
Yeah. Okay, right. Okay, so transponent, we've got Q, we've got J, right. Okay, so any point there, so instead of I could give it an X and Y coordinate. But alternatively, I can represent it by saying how, so it's polar coordinates, do you know what? Do you know what polar coordinates are? Okay, so I can represent this point J by saying, instead of saying by how far it is along here, and how far it is up there, or how far along here, and how far down there, so they're x coordinates, y coordinates. What I can do is I can say, well, let's represent it by saying how far it is away from the origin. So this distance here, and we'll call that distance there r. And also the angle it is around from the positive x direction. So this is an angle of zero. And so if we have this sort of angle around here, so the point P is an angle called theta or theta, and that's that angle here. And so we've got this angle theta around all the way around here. And so basically, if you think about any single point, just giving those two coordinates the r and theta, and they're called, if you want to impress people at home, so it's just basically, it's the same point, just a different kind of system for labeling it, different grid, if you like. If you think about any single point, it's uniquely defined by its r value and its theta value. So that's polar coordinates. And so just as you can do that, you can get what's called a polar representation. So this is kind of, in this form here, this is basically in... So this is in this sort of Cartesian coordinates. This is in terms of x and y, how far we are along there and up there. So what we can do instead is we, instead of representing that in these kind of, we can transfer it really in essence, we just want to do a coordinate transformation, and that's what we do. So to find out that, we need to find the r value. Just what the magnitude of this, how far this is away from the origin. And so what we do is okay, someone's been using the chalkboard. So again, if we get, so I'm gonna label this a real axis. Imaginary. Okay, so 1 plus I, 1 unit out, 1 unit up. Yeah. And then to find out this R value, it's also called in the notes, it's not R, but it's equivalent to if you read the notes, the magnitude U. So it's really the magnitude besides this. So all we just want to find out this distance here, and it's 1 unit across, 1 unit up, and just R equals the square root of 1 squared plus 1 squared is just Pythagoras, which gives us the square root of 2. So that's the value, the r value. And then we want to find out the angle here. And so really, we've got, I guess it's a triangle, we've got 1, 1, and then root 2 for the hypotenuse. But basically because, so this is a right angle here, and so I guess it's an isosceles triangle. And so just as far as we go along here, we go up. And so the slope of this is 1. So it's going up at a 45-degree angle or radians. So the angle here is 45 degrees. So the theta is 45 degrees. So what that means is... So we can represent that by, this is going to get a little bit, I'm just trying to think. So, okay, so we'll, what I might do now is, so anyone want a break? Okay, so what I might do now, so I'm going to get involved and keep on talking, and the biscuits and the cookies and stuff are waiting out there. And you're going to ask questions, and they're still going to be waiting out there, and that's going to be bad. So what we might do now is we'll take maybe 15-20 minute break, and then we'll come back. I think we're going to 1 p.m. So that's a little while. And then I'll finish up the answer with this, and then finish complex numbers, and then we'll get into matrices. So I think that'll be the best thing. So come back here at 4:00.